You're listening to Rochelle Hunt. Call 1300 222 774 or text 0437 774 774.
Dani Valenta's with you, writer, eater and cook. You can keep up to date with what she's up to on her website, DaniValenta.com. But Dani, you do some pretty wacky things sometimes in the name and the art of food and food education. But you've been fish milking. So
yes.
What exactly is it?
I did delight in telling people, oh no, I couldn't possibly do that. I'm going fish milking that day. It's amazing. It is extracting the roe or the caviar, the eggs from fish in a way that does not harm them. So basically you're massaging the eggs out of the fish.
So is it seen though as cruel? Like should the eggs stay inside the fish?
Actually, no, not at all. So it was salmon that we were milking. There are salmon and trout on this farm, Yarra Valley Caviar. And they need to get rid of the eggs. If they don't get rid of the eggs, then they become what's called as egg bound and they'll actually die. So because this is an aquaculture farm and the fish are in ponds, large ponds, they will not release their eggs because they're not in running water, which is the sort of natural environment of these fish. So you need to get rid of them. And the story of this farm is that they were farming salmon for their flesh. They were just squeezing the eggs out of them and chucking them out because otherwise the fish would die. Someone had the bright idea, actually, why don't we put this in tins and sell it?
Yes.
So, yeah, new owners have taken it on and turned it into a completely caviar-focused farm.
So has this always been the way? Have fish always been milked for caviar?
Absolutely not. No, the traditional way of getting caviar is to kill the fish, and sometimes these fish need to be of an advanced age, perhaps up to 20 years old, before they are harvested. And, yeah, the fish is very much slit open. There's sacks of eggs taken out, and that is it for the fish. Oftentimes they're not even eaten, so it's really just used for the roe. So quite wasteful and and has led to overfishing and the extinction of fish in some areas.
Is fish milking?
I know, it's very weird. It's, yes.
It just doesn't seem to roll off the tongue.
No, it doesn't.
Is it done globally? Is this a relatively new practice?
No, it's really unusual. So I believe this is the only aquaculture farm like this in Australia, and it's certainly very rare in the world. I did see a video of one in Britain, but I think it's certainly not on the scale of this farm where it's outdoors. It's a really lovely place.
So once you've – I'm doing the actions here. You've milked the fish, do you just pop them back in and they continue about their lives?
Yeah, they do. So pretty much what happens is they're taken from their pond. They're put into a smaller tank that's got a couple of drops of clove oil in it. The clove oil puts the fish to sleep, so it sort of stuns it. And you've got a few minutes then where you can take it out of the water and gently massage this fish out of it. There's a video of it on my website. So if you go to dannyvalent.com/news, you'll find it. And it's really pretty intense. I had a fish over my knee and I was massaging the roe from it, about a fifth of its body weight in roe, and that's a 3-kilo fish. So it's showering out into a colander, basically. And then you put this stunned fish back into a freshwater pond, and within half an hour it's might have wondered what's just gone on.
Yeah, I feel a little lighter. Shed a couple of kgs.
Its tummy felt really flabby, and it was actually really quite moving. I felt very up close and personal with this salmon and quite grateful that it was, getting rid of its caviar.
I don't know a lot about caviar, and I'm kind of betting that most people don't. You know, I remember in the 80s it was a big thing, and you get it in little jars and there was orange or black, and you'd pop a few little dots onto your pikelet with your creme fraiche and your little sprig of chive.
Exactly.
And that was your super fancy food. But you know, what do you look for in caviar, and what's its history, I guess?
Oh, look, it is a luxury item, and I suppose it's a seasonal item. So these fish spawn in May, so it's a seasonal thing wherever you are in the world. And it's definitely that luxury item where it was hard to come by. There wasn't much of it, very expensive. And I think, as always with those foods that are expensive, they do take on a certain cachet, and they're not accessible to everybody. And, you know, then you have to wonder, well, is it worth it? Especially if you're killing fish and overfishing to get the product. Certainly in Russia there is that traditional Russian caviar service with the blini that you mentioned, those little baby pancakes, and a selection of condiments that you would have with them. So there might be some chopped shallots, those kinds of things. There's lots of ways you can have it. You can have them just dotted over a sandwich, so a millionaire sandwich, a sort of white bread sandwich with
that's a bit fancy,
deluxe
isn't it?
Filling, and caviar.
Minions,
over the top.
Bring me my caviar sandwich.
Exactly. So I think, and what you look for, I suppose, is a freshness, is a nice pop with those little eggs. So you want you don't want too much shell left in your mouth. You want that to almost disappear and just be left with this sort of sensation and this fishy flavour.
So the little coating around the edge, that's the shell.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a pellicle, like a skin around the egg.
Yeah, like the membrane of the inside of an egg.
Exactly.
Almost.
So it's not crunchy like a hen's egg, but it does certainly, it has to be strong enough to keep all the bits inside.
Fascinating. Danny Valenta's with you. 1-300-222-774. If you have some kind of caviar story that you would like to share with us, maybe you've been somewhere gorgeous or you've got a little recipe that you'd like to share with us, 1-300-222-774. Given that it's seasonal, you know, like everything, I guess it's still available all year round. But how do you know that you're buying fresh?
Well, most of it would be frozen. So you would, and then you'd defrost it for sale. Otherwise, you can't keep it for the whole year round. So it's just gently mixed with a little bit of salt to help preserve it. And then it's blast frozen and supplied throughout the year. I suppose this time of year is the time to really try it because, it's fresh.
And how expensive is it?
So it ends up being about $500 a kilo.
Yowzers.
But of course, you're not buying a kilo.
No.
So you can buy it as like a small jar, which is about $25. And okay. It'll last you, it'll last you for a bunch of sandwiches at your fancy party.
And once you open it, how long will it last?
So it'll last up to about a week in the fridge.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think it's with all those products, I think sometimes, you know, when you have something that's expensive, you have this sense of, you know, it's the best china, you don't use it. But I think we've all got to try to get over that. Once you've opened something, then let's get into it. Use
There's
it.
Nothing
Use
worse, it is there, when you've paid money for something and you leave it there and then you go to reuse it and you're like, oh no, it's gone off or there's mold on it.
That's
or
right. Yeah.
What should caviar taste like?
So it should taste, there's different types. So you can have some that's stronger or some smaller eggs. The black, you know, you can have different flavour with the black one or the orange one, but it should taste sort of gently fishy, not overpowering.
1-300-222-774 and you can text 0437-774-774. Speaking of luxury foods, I mean, truffles, I guess, fall into that same
Definitely.
Category of being uber expensive, but you don't need a lot and just use them, don't abuse them.
That's right, yeah. Truffles are in season now as well. And truffles used to be this thing that we only got imported in Australia, but now we are growing quite a lot of our own. So that's pretty exciting. The thing about truffles is that you can't farm them like you can farm potatoes or beans. You don't just plant a truffle seed and it comes up in rows. All you can do is create the conditions that truffles like and just sort of hope for the best.
And what are those conditions? Kind of like mushroom conditions, kind of
exactly. Truffles are a mushroom. They're a fungus, so they grow underground. So they love particular trees and particular, you know, pH on the soil. Don't ask me to get too technical, but it is basically creating those conditions and then just keeping your fingers crossed. People are in Australia, there's been quite a bit of science behind trying to really hone in on what those conditions are and to try to improve it. So it is getting a little bit more of a reliable industry, which will mean that they come down in price.
Because if it's a lot of it's based on trees, and you always see these images of a dog sniffing one out under some kind of big old amazing tree. It takes a long time to grow that tree. So you need to think about
it's a
property
bit of,
where those elements already exist.
Yeah, you can plant. So you would be looking at, you know, I don't know, 5 to 10 years before they grow to maturity. You can, shouldn't be too long.
1-300-222-774. Pat's called in from Keysborough. Hi, Pat.
Oh, hi, ladies. I'd just like to say, as I was a child, this is going back a fair while, we used to have an overabundance of mackerel, which we used to catch by hand because they were chasing the whitebait. And we used to have mackerel, caviar, male and female. I don't know what you call the male, but that was beautiful.
Wow.
And it wasn't, you know, we weren't royalty or anything. We used to have it on toast and all sorts of things.
And then would you just pop the mackerel back, or you'd catch the mackerel and eat the mackerel as well?
Yes,
yeah, fantastic.
That's right.
Oh, that's completely nose to tail, isn't it? You're ahead of your time, Pat.
I didn't. I could have boasted about it all these years.
You could have.
Living like royalty.
So you would just eat it on anything and everything, just toast in the morning.
Yep. My mum used to make it, and then, as I say, the the sperm used to be rolled in egg and breadcrumbs, and we used to have that like a sausage. So there you are.
Oh, Pat, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. Good on you. Isn't Russian caviar not from salmon, is this question
it's
on
from
text?
Your sturgeon is the traditional fish for Russian caviar. So, the farm that I went to is salmon and trout.
And what's the difference between black and red?
Well, different fish have different coloured eggs. So the black caviar that I've seen is quite small compared to the salmon caviar. So that's another difference.
And this text too, I was in Morocco and I was told that most of the saffron and argan oil is fake. Well, saffron is another great one to bring up when talking about luxuries.
Definitely.
How do you know how to buy proper saffron, like the threads, the little...
Yeah.
Pockets of gold.
I know. And the caller's right that often you do buy an inferior product. I think it is one of those things where you pay for what you get. And so real saffron should not have too much variation in colour. It should smell really fresh and exotic. It's such a hard smell to describe, but
it's quite subtle, isn't it?
Yeah, it is subtle. It's almost transcendent. The reason it's so expensive is that it's so difficult to harvest. So the flowers are heartbreaking. All kinds of things can go wrong above and below the soil, needs very good conditions. And then you only get like three little stamen from each flower that you can collect.
And then what happens to the rest of the flower?
That's it.
Oh,
yeah.
That's terrible.
Well, it's, you know, that's saffron for you. It's a little bit of a heartbreaker, but it does just give such an amazing lift to dishes, both sweet and savoury.
And do we harvest, do we grow saffron here?
Yeah, we do. So there's some in Tasmania, but I went to a farm recently near Beechworth and talked to the grower there, Gamila, about the heartbreak of saffron. And she's been farming there for about 8 years. Do you want to know her harvest in all that time? 11 grams.
Oh.
So you got to love it.
I'm not sure what to say to that. I mean, 11 grams of saffron is quite a lot, I guess.
Yeah,
but...
so it is quite a lot. Saffron could be around $15 a gram. So, do the math.
That's not
yes,
much,
it's kind of expensive, but she's not buying a palace.
No, and what's the main thing that you would cook with saffron?
I've just done a recipe of saffron cocktail, saffron martini. That's, very good.
And so you just put a little...
So I made a rhubarb syrup, put a little bit of saffron in it, and then stirred it through with some gin and vermouth and a bit of ice, and it was really, really good. I think it could be a good medicinal drink for winter.
And does it stain? You know, if you got saffron onto your bench or something, would it the colouring, like a turmeric, would it stain?
It's not like turmeric in that sense. No, it certainly does have strong colour properties, but, not so much of a stainer. Beautiful in a chicken broth as well. So chicken soup with saffron broth, so good.
Good for the soul. We're talking luxury foods, 1300 222 774. Hi, Johnny.
Hi, how's things?
Good, mate. You?
Good, good, good. I've just got back from Istanbul, Turkey, and they've got a honey there. It's called Delibal, known as mad honey in English culture or like Western culture, and it's quite expensive. It comes from a toxic plant called the rhododendron, like a certain species that grows up into the Black Sea. I'm just saying if you've tried it or you know like much about it.
I do not know that, no.
Did you try it there, Johnny?
I did. It's very bitter taste and also gives you a kind of like an effect, like a calming effect, because it has a toxin in it called grey anotoxin, and it's used in like the mountains of Turkey as like a natural like medicine. And
I was going to say, is it used in communities as a medicinal purposes?
Yeah, up in the Black Sea, it was called Anza, kind of like near like Rize, and it was pretty popular, and I'm just saying if you tried it or like you knew like much about it, yeah.
I don't know anything about it, but I'm going to find out. So thanks for bringing it to my attention.
Did you bring any home with you, Johnny?
No, I don't think that you can actually bring.
I was going to say customs probably would have said, "Come with me, son."
It was called Delibal.
Okay,
Delibal. Yeah,
that's lovely, Johnny. Thank you. You had a good trip.
Yep, perfect. Very good. Yeah.
Oh, good on you. Well done.
Okay, then, guys.
See
ya.
Bye. You too. There's saffron in a farm in Yarra Glen, says this text. A good paella would have saffron in it, is from Pete. Caviar off the back of your hand with champagne is to die for. Crush the caviar with your tongue on the roof of your mouth. Roger, that's a little bit fancy, isn't it? Caviar and champagne.
That's how you taste it. And in fact, I did that, and you can see me in my little video eating caviar off the back of my hand. So you're supposed to just sort of put it there, and I think it's partly so that you can sort of see it, but also that your hand just slightly warms it up. And
so how much caviar would you put there? So you just put a little spoonful on
just half a teaspoon. Yeah.
So if you did that, if you weren't somewhere fancy, then you would look like you know what you're doing and you could bluff your way through.
Yes, waiter. I'll just deliver the caviar directly to the back of my hand. Thank you, sir.
Supermarkets have stopped stocking Tasmanian saffron because they say it's too expensive. It's very sad because now we get cheaper, older saffron from overseas, says this text. Is it hard to find, Danny?
Oh, look, it can be hard to find good saffron, and I agree that some of the saffron that you buy is not the best quality. So I think it's so tricky, isn't it? What can they do? If they're not selling it, then of course they're not going to stock it. So perhaps try nut and spice shops for it.
Azar's in Blackburn. Hi, Azar.
Hi. Adding to your caviar, the Australian fish, it is the caviar is coming from, and it is from the Caspian Sea, and it's in north of Iran, which is the Caspian Sea side, and the black caviar is from Russia. The Iranian caviar or the Persian caviar, it's a golden colour to black. It's not black, it's not red, and it is the best.
And
what's
made you such a caviar lover, Azar?
Because I'm back. I am Persian. I'm just background Iranian, and then I loved caviar when I lived in Iran. So it is delicious. It's beautiful. And you're right. It is serving with the lemon or lime and a little pancake with caviar, with vodka. In the beautiful parties and things like that. So
I'm coming to your parties. That sounds great.
Yeah, sure.
The ones I go to serve party pies. That sounds a lot fancier. Azar, thank you so much. Ladies, regarding saffron, we need to support the Australian saffron growers. Its quality here is far superior. That's from Peter. And a little recipe from Andy. Put your saffron into a bowl of hot tomatoes, chilli and mussels, and you will be very, very happy.
Oh, I'm sure I would be.
Saffron in seafood chowder is just beautiful as well. 1300 222 774. Luxury foods, we're talking with Danny Valent. I was thinking about this, and in what is an everyday staple being olive oil, and, you know, we sort of use it, for everything, and I cook with it, salad dressings. I sort of stopped buying a special olive oil just for salads, and I was at a gorgeous farmer's market on the weekend, and I went, you know what, I'm buying a beautiful luxurious olive oil just for salads. And I'm loving my salads now. It has made a difference. Just a little bit of luxury, something a bit different. Of course, you can't do it all the time because it's a bit expensive, but olive oil can definitely be a luxury, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. There's so much difference between different types of olive oil. And I think we do some of those staples, we sort of forget to think of them as a fresh product. They're just this thing that you've always got and you always chuck into things. But a really good extra virgin olive oil can just lift a dish. And whether you're cooking with it or using it as a dressing, it is very special.
I'm always confused by the rules of when you should and shouldn't cook with olive oil.
You are now given permission to cook with extra virgin olive oil. It is absolutely
whenever,
fine.
And doesn't matter what heat it gets to.
No, it's a great oil for cooking with.
Because I'm like, who's got 10,000 different oils depending? I mean, you might have a bit of sesame oil for the top, but all right, good.
Yeah, no, permission to cook. Go for it. Yes.
Saffron is good in milk and paleo. Does that make sense to you, what that would be? P-U-L-A-O.
Is it a milk pudding?
Must be. I have no idea. That's from Harish. Thank you, Harish.
Palau. I think it's like a palaf.
Ah, okay. Yeah,
absolutely.
That would work.
Beautiful. Sort of, cousin to paella. So beautiful.
Kathy has a question. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I was just wondering what the flavour that real saffron gives that makes it so exquisite as opposed to synthetic.
You know, I did a saffron tasting and I tasted it against a whole lot of different flavours. And what it did was that it added a dimension to the flavours. So it made sour things taste a little bit more, a little bit broader. It's I don't know, it's so hard to put your finger on what it is, but it just lends a sort of a space to the taste, if that makes if that makes any sense at all.
It's a friend of other flavours.
Yes, it is. So it really augments other flavours so well. And I think if it smells dusty, if it smells stale, then it's not good saffron. Whether or not it was real saffron to begin with is, you know, another question. But, yeah, you want it to smell really fragrant, almost to transport you, almost that, you know, you feel like if you looked over your shoulder, there might be a camel there.
Great. What are you going to use saffron for, Kathy? Have you got a dish in mind?
No, well, I just heard you say someone put in their clam and their seafood chowder.
Yeah, look, it
I'm rather partial to those. And I just thought,
it loves seafood and broths, and what it also loves to really transport the flavour is fat. So it'll if you've got something that's got a little bit of fat in it, that flavour will really go through it really beautifully.
I think, Peter, thank you so much, Kathy. Happy cooking. Enjoy your chowder. Partial to a chowder. I like that. That could be the the name of my autobiography. Partial to a chowder. Peter says, saffron is earthy. That's probably a good way to sum it up.
Yeah, it is. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just that there's a broadening aspect to it.
Well, we've got a little fancy with Dani Valente, writer, eater and cook. You can jump onto her website. Everything's on there from fish milking to a couple of caviar recipes, a little bit of
even
saffron.
Even a saffron cocktail.
You can throw it there. You wash down your caviar with the saffron cocktail.
Life's pretty good.
Dani, thank you, as always.